Hello, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and this is the second chapter of Amos, the Old Testament. And let's all go up to the throne of the Lord for his blessing on this tape. Father, bless this tape. Bless all the words. Your words are already blessed. Let them enter into everyone's ears, down into their spirits and the mind of their spirit. In order for them to have power in these last days, in order for them to know the true personality of you, Father, the living God, who doesn't pull any punches as to who you are and what you are and what your feelings are and what your desires are. You tell it all. And Lord, let everybody receive you as you are, because if they receive you any other way, they will not spend eternity with you. And if they don't like you, a loving God who gave his life for us, then of course your judgment is that they don't deserve to spend eternity with you, but they deserve to spend eternity in a burning hell, in a lake of fire. Lord, we pray that this will edify the church and be the reason for many people learning all about you, so they can decide whether they love you the way you are or not. And we pray, Lord, that they will, their ears will open up, and that they will receive you as you are, so that they can have life. You are a monarch. You are the sovereign God over all the entire universe, and it won't do any good for anyone to not love you as you are. Lord, we ask that you bless the service in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now let's go.
Chapter 2, King James Version, verse 1.
We parallel the King James Version with a synopsis of the way I believe it really is. All right, then what else?
Verse 1, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime.
Okay, now, this is an outrageous thing to actually kill somebody and then burn their bones. This was an outrage back then, and it is an outrage today. Now, these are the things that the Vatican does and has done for thousands upon thousands of years. They have been outrageous in their hatred towards the people who are made in the likeness and image of God, because they hate God so much. And that's why they encourage murder, pillage, and oppression of the human race. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 1. This is what the Lord says, quote, the people of Moab have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer, exclamation mark. They desecrated the tomb of Edom's king and burned his bones to ashes. King James Version, verse 2. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet.
Now, these are the judgments on eight different nations, and two of them are Judah and Israel. And then they are nearby neighbors, like Moab and the others, other nations. Then what else?
Commentary, verse 2. So I will send down fire on the land of Moab, and all the fortresses in Kirioth will be destroyed. The people will fall in the noise of battle, as the warriors shout and the trumpets blare. King James Version, verse 3. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. Commentary, verse 3. And I will destroy their king, and slaughter all their princes.
This is the Lord saying, I will slaughter all of their princes. And so when you see people being slaughtered in catastrophes, God made catastrophes. Don't say it was Mother Nature that did it, because that insults God. there's heathen that are worshiping all different types of gods, and God will destroy them. He'll slaughter them. That's the personality of the Lord, and I pray that you'll receive his true personality, because he doesn't want you worshiping anybody but him, because the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you worship. To love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love him whom God sent into the world, which was himself in his Son. And he showed the personality of the Lord. He showed the things that God likes and the things he doesn't like, and what we must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. He shows us the way. He's the light of the world to salvation. And he tells that we must believe, or we, and if we believe, we will be saved, and if we doubt, we'll be damned. That's the living God. So please receive it and live. Then what else?
Commentary, verse 3. And I will destroy their king and slaughter all their princes. I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark.
And he's bragging. I'm the one that's saying that. Okay, it isn't, President Bush or President Reagan or the King of England or the Queen of England. It's I, the Lord, am going to do it. Because I'll send somebody to do it. Just like I sent the hornets to chase out the giants, and I sent the locusts to kill the people of Judah and all their cattle and all their vegetation. Then what?
God's judgment on Judah and Israel.
Now he's going after his own people. This is, as we talked to, he's talking about all the heathen nations that he's getting. Now he says the judgment on Judah and Israel. There's two other of the eight. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
King James Version, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord.
Whoa, you despise the law of the Lord. In the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, if you despise the word of God, you have no love for the word of God. God will send you strong delusions and make you believe that you're right when you're dead wrong, so that you'll be damned, so that your soul will be damned. Get used to the true personality of the Lord. He doesn't want me or anyone else to come and get you. He wants to do it. Because evidently it's fun for him, and he doesn't want anybody to take the fun away. He says, judgment belongs to me, saith the Lord. I will do the avenging. Amen?
Amen.
So little monkeys like you that hate God and hate his rules and regulations, he wants you. He wants you real bad. All right? So that's the true personality of him. Get used to that. Okay, you've heard all kinds of garbage about God. He's all love and all this. Does this sound like that? This is from the real, his word. Okay, Nummy? Nimrod? Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof.
See, I know that my words are obnoxious. I want them to be. Because, you know, I hate people like the Lord. I hate the people as the Lord hates. And the psalmist David said it's a perfect hatred. And I have no respect for anybody that's stupid as you are. All right? So, you know, I'll talk down to you, because it's obvious that you satanic people talk down to the people of the Lord. Okay? Mm-hmm. You want to talk down to me and to my God? Well, let me talk down to you, Nummy, okay? Numbskull. You'll find out that the things that I was saying is absolutely the truth. So at the end, he that laughs last laughs best, okay? And the Lord said he'd laugh at you when you're going out into hell, Nummy. All right? Worshipping some stupid statue, some false god. You've got to, you can't be real. Can you? Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments.
Well, you mean to say he'll slaughter us because we don't keep his commandments? Finally, you wised up. That's right. You got it. Now you're talking. All right, then what?
And their lies cause them to err after the which their fathers have walked.
In other words, you're falling right after the same lies that your fathers, your ancestors fell over, like Adam and Eve. You're believing the same lies they did, that you're not going to die, that God's not going to pour out wrath on you. Once saved, always saved. God saved you to have fun, fun, fun. That if you give money, you can be saved. All the rotten, idiotic stuff that people believe. If you light a candle, say a few Hail Marys, you'll be saved. How could you be so stupid? I don't believe that you are. I just think you want to go and sin an easier, whatever you call a conscience in this world. But what good is it going to do you when you bump into reality, when you wind up right in front of reality? Because God's going to grab you by your shirt and pull you right up into his face and say, you believe the wrong thing. And I pray, and I believe that he's going to call your words something like nummy, okay? Numbskull. And he's just going to call you evil and depart into everlasting darkness, you wicked. Now, I know that's not the democratic thing to do, but the Lord's not a Democrat, nor is he a Republican. He's God. Amen?
Amen.
And he does things his way, whether the Democrats like it or the Republicans or the other party, whatever it is. All right? He's the boss. He's the boss. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 4. This is what the Lord says, quote, "The people of Judah have sinned again and again, and I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer!" Exclamation mark.
What kind of a God do you think you are that you can just punish whoever you want? He does it, no matter whether you like it or not. Amen?
Amen.
That's the kind of a God I am. I'm just going to do it. And what are you going to do about it? You want to fight? Huh? Go ahead and fight, little mud pie. Huh? Stick up your dukes. All right, then what else?
Commentary in verse 4. They have rejected the laws of the Lord, refusing to obey him. They have been led astray by the same lies that deceived their ancestors. King James Version, verse 5. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem.
Well, what kind of a God is this that just threatens you with fire and slaughter and brimstone? It's the kind of God that you better worship, okay?
Amen.
Because you don't want him to send fire, do you?
No.
Or brimstone?
No.
Or pull you up by your shirt right in front of his face? Do you, little monkey? Well, I hope not, little monkey. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 5. So I will send down fire on Judah, and all the fortresses of Jerusalem will be destroyed.
All the fortresses, that means everything that could defend you will be destroyed, so that he can just, you know, it's just like a mouse. This is far worse than a mouse trying to stand up and shake its fist at a cat's face, you know, because I don't think a mouse would get away with it. But just imagine a little less than a mouse like you shaking your fist in God's face. You've got more. You haven't got much brains. You got a lot of guts, but no brains. Okay, but your guts won't do you any good. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're trying to animate it because we realize that most of you people have been raised on animated cartoons. That's about all you know. Okay, now you need to learn the Bible now, right? Let's learn about God now, all right? Then what else? You know all about Pluto and Donald and the Snow White, and the dwarfs, and the dogs, and the pigs, and all that. Now, let's learn about God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
King James Version, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes.
You see them doing that today, you know, it's just... I don't know who these people think they are. They must think they're God, right? Selling people. God made these people out of the dirt of the ground. He wants them to worship them, and they make merchandise of them. You know, sell them. How'd you like somebody to sell you, little monkey? You know, that's what I felt like when the Lord came down upon me, like I was a little puppet or something, like a little monkey. He was playing with me when I was trying to argue with him. My soul was going in and out of my body, and he was like, I felt like I was really a nothing. He reduced me to, because I was one of the most, I guess you would call it, puffed up human beings there was, because I figured everybody needed me in order to become a big star, or if you wanted to be president, you need me. And so I felt, you know, I was really as the cat's meow. The meow of the cat. And if you wanted me to do a promotion, well, then I would let the cat out of the bag and I'd do it. It would happen, you know. It was like I had Midas's touch. But when the Lord came down upon me, I realized how nothing I was. And that's what's going to happen to everybody. It's better that you know it right now before it happens to you, as it did to me. I am just happy that whatever the Lord had in me from the beginning is there, because if it wasn't, I would be dead now for sure. And I mean, I felt just like a little marionette or a little tiny monkey instead of a big shot like I really thought I was. And there's no big shots out of the Lord. God had big shots. He had Moses and Elisha, Enoch, Noah. They were all big shots for the Lord. You hear preachers saying God doesn't have big shots. Yes, he does. Apostle Paul. But they can't think of themselves as big shots. They're just vessels that the Lord uses in a big way. Amen?
Amen.
And he gives them different high positions in his service for the obedient people. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 6. This is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again. And
this is Israel, not Judah now. Okay, they sinned again and again.
And I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer.
So if you think the Lord is going to forget about the sins that you do, you're crazy. Because a sin to him is like if he tells you, don't touch the tree and don't eat the fruit of it. And if they do, that's disobedience. And that's like a witch to the Lord. And so he withdraws his spirit from you and sets you on schedule to die a certain day and then hell in the lake of fire. He told Saul to kill animals, to kill every animal. And he didn't, and so he withdrew his spirit from him. Just one sin, one disobedience. And so you have to learn, little monkey, not to be disobedient. So learn that about the Lord now.
Commentary verse 6 continued. They have perverted justice by selling honest people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. King James Version, verse 7. That pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. Commentary, verse 7.
Now, a lot of people think we're living in a new age now where sex is all right, and even having sex with animals is all right, and men and the boys, the sons and the fathers can go into the same woman, or the woman can go in, or a man can go into his daughter and have sex with her, and this is not anything new. This is not the new age. This has been happening ever since the beginning of time. The Lord talks about things like that in the Word, and here it is again right here. Amen?
Amen.
And this is something that the Lord slaughters people for. I mean, people were having sex with animals. A woman that lies down with an animal is said both of them to be stoned to death. because this is confusion. And it says, oh, and everybody thinks that back then everything was square. No, there was just as much sin back then as it is here. And the Lord talks openly about it because he wants people to know that you're not the New Age. All you're doing is believing the same lies that Satan told those people back then. And you're thinking it's a New Age, a new era of time where everybody's free to do whatever they want. They can do anything they please. But those people went to hell. And you will. God punishes people for the same things today as he did back then. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
You can't go into a father and son into the same woman. Or a woman can't go into her son. Or a woman cannot have sexual relationships with any of her kin. Or the same thing with a man. He can't have sex with his daughter. Or any next of kin. Well, this is in the Bible. I mean, and this wicked generation today pretends, oh, he's talking about that. Well, the Lord talks about it, and so I do too. You know, I have to tell you what the Lord says. Okay, now here he is talking about it right now. Now, go ahead and read.
Commentary, verse 7. They trample helpless people in the dust and deny justice to those who are oppressed. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name.
Oh, that's just titillating to a bunch of people today. They just think that's wonderful. But now what is God going to do to him now?
King James Version, verse 8. And they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God.
Now, you know what that means? No, okay, let me explain it. Okay, go ahead and explain it.
Commentary, verse 8. At their religious festivals, they lounge around in clothing stolen from their debtors. In the house of their God, they present offering of wine purchased with stolen money.
That's what it means. Right? Just lounging around. People that lounge around are of the devil. They're to be vibrantly working for the Lord on this side of eternity. Is what the Lord says. Now, of course, you don't have to believe that. You can call the Lord a liar and don't do it. Because that's what you're doing. If you don't do what he says, you're calling God a liar. If you call him a liar, he's going to prove to you that he's the truth one of these days. Maybe one of these minutes or seconds, quicker than you think. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 9. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars.
That these people were very tall, like cedar trees, and they were as strong as oaks. That's what it's saying. Okay. All right, go ahead.
And he was strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above.
Yeah, they're tall as cedar trees and strong as oaks, yet I destroyed the fruit on their trees and pulled them up by the stinking roots, is what the Lord says. That's what I do with tall and strong men. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead, keep going.
Yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath.
Yeah, I like this tree is so great, it's got such great fruit on it. I destroy the fruit and then pull him up by the roots. Huh?
Yeah.
Then what else?
Commentary, verse 9. Yet think of all I have done for my people! Exclamation mark. I destroyed the Amorites before my people arrived in the land. The Amorites were as tall as cedar trees.
Yeah, before you people arrived here, I destroyed them. The Amorites were as tall as cedar trees, and then what else?
The Amorites were as tall as cedar trees and strong as oaks, but I destroyed their fruit and dug out their roots.
So that's what God does to strong, tall people. And so all you basketball players better watch out here. Okay, you might know how to dribble a ball, but you better learn how to serve the Lord. You put the basketball away. The basketball, the football, and the baseball. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 10. Also, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years
through. Yeah, also, listen, I don't you remember, you people? I led you all the way out of the land of Egypt. Remember, I'm the God that did all this. I destroyed the Amorites. These tall and strong people, I ripped their fruit to pieces, their children, and I dug them up by the roots. There's no way they can have eternal life anymore. Okay, now, and then also I want to remind you that I'm the God that took you out of, brought you out of Egypt. Amen? Amen. Then what?
I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite.
Yeah, but I killed them before you got there, because you're scared of them giants, so you'd really be scared of these people that are, you know, tall and lanky like the giraffe and strong as oaks, right? And they got big kids too. They're fruit, the fruit of their these trees. Then what?
Commentary verse.
Might as well know what the Bible's saying. Amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, then what else?
Commentary verse 10.
You hear these people say, "You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?" Well, you know what I'm saying, okay? Listen, what God's saying. Don't be so worried about what you're saying, because it don't mean anything. Listen to what God's saying. You know what I'm saying? Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 10. It was I who rescued you from Egypt and led you through the desert for 40 years so that you could possess the land of the Amorites.
Now you know who the Amorites are, right?
Right.
Tall, lanky, strong, that got pulled up by the roots and the fruit got wiped out. And I destroyed them before you ever arrived here, the Lord said. Because he was so scared of giants before. I was just afraid that your pea-picking little hearts might have been, would have melted. You just would have swooned over them. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 11. And I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? Commentary, verse 11.
And it doesn't say raised, it says, I raised up your people for prophets, or I choose them to be prophets. That means it's an ongoing thing. Amos wasn't the last prophet. He's still choosing them, okay?
Yes.
So he didn't. He wasn't. He didn't choose them. He chose. He chooses them. He chooses them. Amen.
Amen.
He chose. He is choosing them continuously. There's prophets today. I'm a prophet. And if you think that I shouldn't be mocking people the way I do, you ought to listen to how Elijah mocks people and how Jesus mocks people. And how the Lord mocks people all the time. He says, I'll laugh and mock at your calamity. Amen?
Amen.
Because he doesn't, have any regard for people that don't regard him or his son that died for him. Okay, keep going.
Commentary verse.
And if you think that's wrong, you're wrong. Wrong again. Okay, then what else?
Commentary verse 11. I choose some of your sons to be prophets and others to be Nazarites. Can you deny this, my people of Israel? Asks the Lord.
Can you deny that I brought you out of Egypt? No, no, you know I did. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 12. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying...
Now, a Nazarite is not supposed to eat or drink anything from the vine. And he says, you made my Nazarites drink your wine, which put them in jeopardy with God, because they shouldn't have drank that wine any more than the three Hebrew children did, or Daniel. They made a strong stand. It was a testimony. And they didn't care if they got thrown in the fiery furnace or in the lion's den for making a strong stand for the Lord at all. Because they knew that God would bless them, and they wanted the blessing on God no matter what. And they didn't back away from keeping God's commandments. But they kept all of his commandments. And God went in the fire with them. Amen?
Amen.
And he went into the lion's den with Daniel. Okay, what else?
King James Version, verse 12.
He does the same thing for people today that make strong stands like that. And then a lot of people wonder, well, then why do a lot of Christians get... Because punk out. And there's so many of them that Satan has settled down in the temple of God. You are the temple of God, but then you let Satan sit down inside of you, and now you've become an antichrist, one that is really will not stand for the Lord under any fire or persecution or trial or tribulation. You just won't do it. You're too worried about your piggish, mousy flesh, and you're not concerned enough about your soul, about where your spirit is going to spend eternity. And so therefore you become like a Esau, which God hates, who God hated. Jacob he loved, Esau he hated, because Esau didn't care anything about his birthright. He didn't care anything about going to heaven until it was time for him to get the blessing, and then he cried, he wept bitterly for it, but he couldn't have it because he despised it. And if you despise your soul so much that you're afraid to make a stand for God in this world, there is no hope for you to be able to enter heaven. No hope at all. So you have to start doing business with the Lord and stop watching animated cartoons and reading funny books. You have to stop watching ridiculous movies made by very ignorant people in Hollywood, and believe me, I know a lot of them. But they're just making pictures that people want to see in no regard as to what the consequence is for people spending their time watching them. It's sad. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 12. But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not.
Yeah, and to tell them people, don't preach the gospel. We don't want to hear it. You can't come and preach the gospel. You can't put gospel tracts in our parking lot. We don't want to hear the preach not. Prophesy not to us. Well, what do you think God's going to do to those people? They want to hear His word. They're deliberately shutting their ears off from His word, His instructions for life. So they don't get life. They don't receive it. They're not going to have it. They don't want to hear it. Well, they thought of themselves as not being worthy of eternal life, and so they don't get it. They have eternal death, damnation in hell, chewing, biting all over their tongues, and yelling their head off for the pain. And there's no relief ever. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 12. But you caused the Nazarites to sin by making them drink your wine. And you said to my prophets, quote, shut up, exclamation mark, end quote.
Shut your mouth. Then what?
King James Version, verse 13.
So what's God going to do to him for that? Go ahead.
Verse 13. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves.
Yeah. In other words, I groan. I'm going to make you people groan like a cart that's loaded down with grain. It's just so loaded that it groans while it moves. Go ahead.
Commentary, verse 13. So I will make you groan as a wagon groans when it is loaded down with grain.
Did you ever hear one of them like that? I have. Thank God I'm a country boy. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 14. Therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force, neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Commentary, verse 14. Your fastest runners will not get away.
Right. How are you going to run away from God? He's faster than you. You can't run in the house, inside the house and hide under the bed. He'll go right under there with you. Amen?
Amen.
You say, hi. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The strongest among you will become weak.
Yeah, when you see the Lord and you realize that He's all power, holding the whole universe together, you're going to realize that you're not strong. You're just puny. A puny little monkey. Then what else?
Even the mightiest warriors will be unable to save themselves. King James Version, verse 15. Neither shall he stand that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself.
Yeah, your horse, I don't care how fast he can run, the Lord can run faster. Amen?
Amen.
You want to know why? Because he's everywhere. You can be running with your horse, you know, to Fort Smith. He'll be waiting for you there. But you think he's chasing you, but he's already there. And you ride up on your stallion, and he says, hi.
Commentary verse 15. The archers will fail to stand their ground. The swiftest soldiers won't be fast enough to escape.
Yeah. How can you escape God? He's everywhere. He's even on the moon. He's everywhere in the universe. He's in Windham, Montana, while we're right over here. In New York, he's there. I was in L.A. when I got saved. And he was there. He came after me right there. He was on the road to Damascus, where Paul was going to kill a bunch of Christians. He's everywhere. He's the air. Amen?
Amen.
He knows everything you're thinking. He knows what you plan to do, what you're planning. And if it's not his plans, he don't want to know you, okay? But he does know you. But he doesn't want you in heaven with him. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 15 continued, even warriors on horses won't be able to outrun the danger.
And who is the danger? The Lord, yes. See, he says that he makes good things happen, and he also makes the evil. Because he makes evil things for you. Right?
Right.
If you are evil, he's going to fashion something evil for you. A present, so to speak. Okay? You think you're going to get a big reward because everybody thinks you're so righteous, but then there'll be a present for you. And when you open it up, you're not going to like it. Okay? All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 16. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. Commentary, verse 16. On that day, the most courageous of your fighting men will drop their weapons and run for their lives. Quote, I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, no, it wasn't somebody else telling it. This isn't coming from Amos. It's the Lord telling Amos that this is coming from me. Okay? Not you, Amos. This I, the Lord, have spoken. This is Tony Alamo, and tune in tomorrow for the next tape the Lord gives me, which will more than likely, God willing, be chapter 3. Praise the Lord, and God bless till then.